your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in this segment now, we are focusing a bit more on the resource sector as we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. We are going to talk about precious metals, also look at some of the other commodities that overall, October has been a pretty good month for commodities broadly. Seemed like the base metals went on a run, quite a euphoric run early on for the first half, about two-thirds of October. And the precious metals also continued to seem like grind higher. However, we did see at the tail end, on Friday, the last trading day of the month, general pullback in a lot of these metals, especially the precious metals. But overall, Jeff, let's start with the precious metals, because throughout this month, I've noticed some of the commentary coming out of the CPM group generally a bit more bullish than I had seen the last few months, even throughout this year. I know that you guys are bullish on precious metals longer term, but break down what some of your recent commentary in terms of the precious metals is outlined, please.
Well, yeah, we still have the same, pretty much the same long-term bullish expectation for our gold and silver and for platinum and palladium. We're actually just now updating our platinum group metals supply demand price projections. We take them out to 2050 because of the uncertainty surrounding future motive propulsion technologies. But you know, we've had this view that gold and silver will probably rise sharply mid-decade due to economic and financial and political problems coming home to roost, and we still maintain that. Where we've seen some shifts are in a shorter term, the next week or two, the next month, and the next really five quarters, like through 2022. You know, our view, it's actually been tilting. So our view has been that we thought that the gold and silver prices would rise modestly over the course of the fourth quarter of this year and through 2022. And now what we're thinking is that maybe we're seeing a little bit stronger prices in the fourth quarter of this year and then more moderation in 2022. And that reflects a couple things. One is it reflects the reality of what's been going on in October price-wise and in terms of investment demand. But it also reflects a view that 2022 may see more sanguine economic expectations on the part of financial markets. And you know, we've sort of seen gold and silver trade in a range over the last month or two. But the range actually, if you look at it more closely, we've seen gold and silver prices rising over the course of October. And you know, it's not so much a range as what technicians would call ascending triangles. And you're seeing gold, you know, test the upper ceiling of it, gold and silver testing the upper ceiling of these ascending triangles. So gold's tested 1810 a couple times really since it sold off in late September, and silver has been testing, you know, the higher ends of its range, which, you know, really is around 2480 to $25 an ounce. And our expectation is that over the next couple of months, you may well see those prices break, and you might see, you know, silver rise a dollar or so. We don't see it running away, you know, sharply, but the idea that it gets to 26 or 27 or even $28 between now and early January is well within probability scales that we look at, you know, and with gold. A break above 1800, 1810, 1820 could see the price go up back to 1840 or so relatively quickly. So we're looking at a little bit more strength in the fourth quarter, but then we're looking at a more sanguine view of the economy and maybe flatter prices in 2022 relative to what we had been thinking about earlier. We had been thinking about modest increases over the course of the year, and investors become a little bit more confident about the economy next year, and there are some signs that they may, that shift may occur, then you could see precious metals sort of tread water more next year before ultimately starting to rise as the economic and financial environment deteriorates longer term.
Yeah, Jeff, that sets the table nicely. And really, the precious metals have been stuck in a pricing channel. I guess you could call it a range. I mean, really, the $1,800 level for gold has been a magnet for the last few months. You could have fallen asleep 3 or 4 months ago and woken up and it's still at the same place today. Silver was getting in the danger zone down around 2150, but it has bounced up into the mid-24s. And as you point out, a move up a couple bucks would still be still in that larger range silver's been in between 22 to 28. But no sign that anytime soon it's going to bust out above 30 or anything like that. Same thing with gold. It's still got a lot of resistance levels above it. Even at 1840, there's more above it at 1900, 1920. So a lot of work for the precious metals to do. The mining stocks have done a little better recently and outperformed the metals. But one thing I've noted, Jeff, is the silver has started outperforming gold a little bit. And my question is, do you think that that's because of the industrial component with silver? Because gold really hasn't done much, but silver's caught up. But we've noticed the other commodities run, as Corey mentioned in the intro, like copper is up to near all-time highs. Zinc is at 16-year highs. Lead's up. Nickel's up. The commodities like the energy space, oil and nat gas are up. Do you think silver's benefited from that commodity run?
I think silver's benefiting from the commodity run, and also some of the background behind the commodity run. I mean, what you're finding is a lot of investors buying into the electrification of the global economy, a shift away from hydrocarbons to electricity, which is actually not necessarily an accurate portrayal of what's happening or going to happen, and an increased market share of electric vehicles. And, you know, there's a view that all of this electrification of transportation as well as other aspects of the economy will lead to greater demand for industrial metals. So aluminum, copper, nickel, and silver is benefiting from that too. You know, the typical car right now probably uses a little less than 1 ounce of silver per car. And it's used in thousands of connectors and contacts in the electrical system of the car. Electric vehicles probably use twice as much metal. So if you're seeing an increase of, say, from 2 million electric vehicles in 2019 to 4 million last year to 6.5 million this year, you're seeing, you know, a couple million ounces more of demand. But people are looking at electric vehicles and they're saying, our view is that they won't gain market share as quickly as the politicians and the corporate chieftains say, but they will gain market share. And people are saying, okay, so if you're going to be using twice as much silver per car and you're going to be shifting to electric cars, that electric vehicles, that should greatly increase the demand for silver. And it will increase the demand for silver. But, you know, our expectation is that it might add 16 million ounces of fabrication demand totals over the next 9 years. So that's not going to set the silver market on fire in reality. But right now, what you're seeing are investors buying into that story. You know, by 2030, a significant portion of the auto population will be electric cars, and they'll be using a lot more silver.
So, Jeff, looking out to 2030, it is important, but when it comes to investment horizons, everybody is a lot more short-term than that, right? And the big elephant in the room, at least coming next week, is that Fed meeting and the expected start of the taper program. How do you see this playing out in terms of its impacts on precious metals or the broad commodity complex?
I think it's going to add to the uncertainty that has kept gold and silver in a range, for example. And I think it's relatively, the actual effects, I think, will be relatively small. But you're going to see increased volatility across financial markets as investors try to wrestle with what it really means. I mean, and it's already there. If you look at the 10-year bond, for example, the 10-year yields really rose sharply over the last couple of weeks. And then in the last couple of days, they gave it all up. So the realization is that, yeah, interest rates probably aren't going to rise as the Fed tapers or pulls back from its accommodative things. But what you'll see is that they will be buying fewer bonds, and that will reduce the largesse, which is probably, that would be negative for commodities but for the fact that they're doing it because they see a stronger economy.
Well, Jeff, we talked to so many different people that are thought leaders in the space and different people that are looking at the precious metals or just macroeconomics. And if we distilled down the two arguments for higher precious metals, they'd have to be that some people are waiting for possibly a market rout because of the Fed action. If they decide to start hiking rates next year, for example, earlier than expected, that market rout may help the precious metals. And the other argument is that if the Fed starts a rate hiking cycle, it seems counterintuitive, but a lot of times when they start hiking rates in a negative real rate environment, that it actually is a boon to the precious metals. Do you like either one of those explanations for what could move the precious metals moving into 2022, or how do you see it?
Yeah, I don't expect the stock market rout. You know, I people have been saying that it's going to collapse for a long, long time, probably longer than I've lived. Yeah. But I don't see a stock market rout because I think the stock market has been benefiting from stock buybacks, monetary largesse. I think there's plenty of money out there that will keep the stock market from falling sharply. So I don't see that that's going to be a factor that would trigger higher gold and silver prices. The second thing that you were talking about was the interest rates, I guess. And yeah, a lot of times what you'll see is that when interest rates are rising, what's important is not that they're rising. The important thing is, how does the market interpret it? Does the market say, oh, interest rates are rising because inflation is a problem and the Fed is behind the ball? That's bullish for gold and silver. But other times you'll see in the financial market say, oh, interest rates are rising because inflationary pressures are growing, but the Fed's on top of this and they're raising interest rates early. And if that happens, then it's a negative. My view is that in the next period of time, when we see upward pressures on interest rates, people will take it more in the former case. Well, inflation is rising and the Fed has going to have a difficult time dealing with it. I happen to think that inflation is not all that problematic and that the Fed has plenty of ammunition to use to fight inflation. So I don't think it's going to be a big issue, but what I think doesn't matter. What matters is the consensus in the market. And the market is inclined to be concerned about inflation right now and to think that the Fed doesn't have a good handle on the economy. I think the market's wrong in both accounts, which means that you could see precious metals prices rise, and then when reality sinks in, they could come back off.
Jeff, how long are you going to continue to be in the camp of essentially calling this inflation transitory, or at least saying that the Fed does have the ammo and the tools to pull back inflation? Honestly, I'm on the fence. I don't know. You hear so many different arguments right now that say inflation is taking off. I'm not in that whole hyperinflation narrative, but at the same time, look, the Fed has got itself kind of in this corner here where it is going to have to potentially deal with inflation if it does keep on running into next year. What's your time frame in essence of when the Fed probably will need to act for inflation if it does keep running higher than expected?
I don't really have a time frame because I look more at trends in the actual valuations in the market rather than a timing. And one of the points that we've made repeatedly is that, you know, when you start breaking down inflation and you look at it, yeah, there are actually some non-transitory inflationary pressures in the economy. And you have to understand that it's not an either or transitory or permanent inflation problem. It's a mixture, and you have to say, okay, this is a permanent or a semi-permanent or a secular shift that has inflationary consequences, and then there are these other things that are cyclical or transitory. And I think that the bulk of the inflation that we've been seeing has been transitory. And if you look at the inflation not as a year-over-year data, but as a month-to-month data, you'll see that the big spike in inflation in consumer prices in the United States were March, April, May. And then June, July, August, September, we have seen lower month-to-month inflation rates. And that supports my view that a lot of the inflation is, in fact, transitory. But other people look at the year-over-year. And another point that we keep making is that right now you're looking at, you know, August and September price levels compared to August and September of 2020, which was the height of the global lockdown when no one was buying anything. So you had prices weak a year ago, and now people are coming out and they're buying stuff. There are supply delivery issues. There are cost issues on the labor front. You have a 90% turnover of truck drivers in the United States per year. You know, it's funny because, you know, I was watching the news and they were talking about the supply chain and delivery problems, and they're showing the port of Long Beach, California, and they're talking about how people can't get cereal. Well, cereal doesn't come from overseas. It comes from, you know, Michigan. and it's not a matter of ships at sea. It's a matter of trucks and the lack of truck drivers. Now, you go forward a year from now, and you're going to be measuring year-over-year inflation of high price levels in August and September of 2021 compared to whatever the levels are in 2022. And my expectation is that the levels will be flat to lower for a lot of categories in with a lot of the components within the CPI. So, you know, I'm not saying, well, okay, I think that by April of next year that I'll be able to say this is transitory, this is not transitory. What I see is that we're going to have a process over the next, say, 12 months or so where the inflation indicators are reduced, while at the same time, economic output indicators probably strengthen. So you're going to have a stronger economy and lower inflation. You'll see continued improvement in the labor market. And those things are probably going to combine to cause investors to say, okay, the economy is not as in bad of shape as I thought it was. It's probably in better shape than I thought it was. And that's not necessarily a positive thing for investing in gold and silver.
Well, Jeff, just shifting over to the platinum and palladium markets real quick before we wrap, because I know you follow that space closely. Two things I want to ask you about. One is we see the increased narrative around fuel cells and how platinum and palladium may be important to that. And then the other question I have is, with palladium prices being so much higher than platinum historically, do you think that there's a risk of a replacement aspect to the palladium and in favor of platinum moving forward in industry?
Yeah, well, the second question first. Yes, definitely you're seeing that, and you're already seeing it. You're seeing wherever possible people in industries and applications are shifting more toward platinum and away from palladium. And that's why, you know, the spread between the metals prices has fallen in half. You know, palladium is around $1,900 right now. Platinum's around $1,000. But if you go back a few months, platinum was around $1,000 and palladium was around $2,000 or $3,000. So, you know, you're already seeing that shift being reflected in the price. And I think that that will continue over the next year or so. In terms of fuel cells, my view is that fuel cells make sense for stationary power and also for fleet. So inner city buses and airport fleets, vehicles, all those things running around the tarmac or forklifts and warehouses, you know, places where you have a fleet manager who can handle fueling hydrogen into a car. I don't think that fuel cells make sense for on-road transportation, like, you know, light-duty vehicles that people are driving, simply because it's too expensive and dangerous to ship, store, and deliver hydrogen at this point. And also, I think the fuel cell cars and technology is still very expensive and temperamental. It's gotten less temperamental, but it still is temperamental. So I don't see fuel cells taking big market share in the vehicle market. And also, as we've seen, you know, for 50 years, research at limiting the amount of platinum and palladium. Well, palladium hasn't really been used in fuel cells, but platinum has. And you've seen, you know, a 99% reduction in platinum requirements. And you have any number of fuel cell manufacturers now saying they can produce fuel cells that don't use platinum. So I don't think that fuel cells will be a major source of demand for platinum. and I don't think there'll be a major form of mode of transportation for on-road passenger vehicles, small trucks, and big trucks too.
All right, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for taking kind of that broad look ahead for a wide range of metals, mostly the precious metals, and where you see inflation going, because that continues to be the big topic to discuss here, is where inflation is going and what the Fed can do to stem inflation if it does keep running higher. But again, I think all focus is on next year and just where inflation goes, what the Fed does, and what the market volatility is on the back of that. Jeff, always great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah, take care.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.